Welcome to Better Sex, where you get the information and inspiration to create and enjoy your best possible sex life. Join your host, sex therapist Jessa Zimmerman, as she brings you expert guests, helpful tips, knowledge, and strategies to improve your intimate relationships. And now, your host, Jessa Zimmerman.
Hey, this is Jessa. Welcome back to another episode of the Better Sex Podcast. So glad you're here. Before I jump in, though, to today's episode, I just want to take a pause and a breath because I've been working so hard on my new project, the Desire Spa, which if you are a woman struggling with little to no libido and it's affecting your relationship, this is the online course that's really geared towards helping you want sex again. So, you know, you can feel as close and connected to your partner as you want to feel. And while I've been working with couples on this for quite a long time, it's kind of a new focus to single out women and put them in a place that's safe and supportive and nurturing. That's why I call it a spa, to really explore this and transform their sex life. So I've been working on this project now for months, and I think by the time this podcast out, this will already be live in the world. So I'm taking a breath for myself and a little bit of a pat on the back for getting all this done. And I'm so excited about it. And I hope if this applies to you or if you know somebody, you know, send them over to thedesirespa.com and check it out. So today, talking to Sarah Dysock, and she works at Early to Bed, which is a sex toy shop in Chicago. So we are talking about the wide world of sex toys, the different kinds there are, the reasons people use them. Where's a good starting point if this is new to you, if you don't already have a bedside drawer full of them, you know, and also how to talk to your partner about it, how to use them as a couple, how to get your partner on board, how to introduce this into your coupled sexual play if that's not something you've already been doing, because it can be really beneficial and fun. So anyway, hopefully you're going to get a ton out of the episode and enjoy it. And then Sarah she works with Early to Bed. And so if you're not in Chicago where you can stop by the store, which probably most of you are not, they are available by phone and email to help you shop and get the perfect toy for you. So enjoy. And before we start the show today, it is sponsored by Intimacy with Ease. It's a method to help otherwise happy couples achieve a sex life that is easy and fun for both of them so that you can actually just enjoy your sex life with zero stress. For more information, if you want to watch a brief little training video that's available, all of that, go to intimacywithease.com. So, Sarah, thank you so much for being with me today.
It is my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So we're talking about the wonderful wide world of sex toys, right?
my favorite topic.
There's sort of a lot to think about, but maybe we could just sort of start with why sex toys. Like I remember when I was getting my sex therapy training, we didn't even use the word toy because it makes it sound like only play. Somehow it's frivolous. We called it aids to sexual pleasure. But anyway, maybe you could elaborate on some of the reasons these exist and why people might seek them out.
Absolutely. I mean, I think on the most basic level, these items exist to enhance people's sex lives, right? I think that for some people, they have maybe more therapeutic uses or their tools to solve a problem. But for a lot of people, and I would say in my non-scientific, you know, methodology, that the majority of the people who are using what we call sex toys are using them just for fun, to make sex more fun. And it's interesting because the word sex toy, I feel like it's got a bad rap all of a sudden. There's a lot of marketing now where people are like, this is not a vibrator. This is a wellness item, or this is a something else. And that's fine, you know, but I think that calling it sex toy or vibrator or whatever, it doesn't, first of all, change anything. But also I think that I like to talk about them as toys, as play, as pleasure items, as something to be fun, as opposed to making them these more serious. And sometimes they're serious and they're used for more serious reasons. But I think that I kind of bristle at the stigma that is kind of coming out now about something being called a vibrator or a sex toy, because I feel like it's all the great words and they're very descriptive.
Well, yeah, it's almost like, you know, pleasure's not a good enough reason. You know, like it's just right. So dismissive of pleasure. Like that wouldn't be enough reason to go buy something at the store.
I know. Well, and I get that, you know, we're all about interrupting things nowadays and people want to like come up with a reason why their vibrator is somehow different than somebody else's vibrator. And I get that you're trying to reach new markets, but I feel like as an old person in the industry, I'm kind of like, these are vibrators. I'm good. And there's nothing wrong with them. We don't need to interrupt this market. We just need to make better ones and keep making more of them. So
I don't know if you know the answer to this, and it's fine if you don't, but do you think some of this is because I have the idea that in some states, it's still illegal. I don't know if it's illegal to have these or buy these, but maybe to market these, you know, like I live in Seattle, right? I'm in like the liberal pocket of the world. So I don't know, but aren't there still states that have some restrictions about this stuff too?
There are. I mean, I haven't checked them lately, but there are definitely states that have rules against how many you can own or selling them. But I think that those are old laws. And I think that this new marketing is more about just trying to have a new spin on the same thing and trying to make them seem more acceptable, which is fine. Like if calling it a wellness item gets it in someone's hand, great. You know, if that's what you need. Also, we're seeing them sold now at a wider range of retailers. So you're seeing them sold at like Nordstrom's, you know, like, and they're going to not call it a vibrator. So I think that that's also, it's like, to make them more acceptable in a wider range of retail spaces, which is great. You know, it's sometimes is rough on us sex toy retailers, but I think the more people see these as a normal part of a healthy sex life, the better it is for everybody. But it is interesting that I think, I don't know how many, at one point it was 28 states that still had laws against sex toys, which is just, you got nothing better to do. I mean, it's,
yeah. Don't even get us started, right?
Yeah, right.
So are there categories of sex toys? Are there way, I mean, I don't know, the way you organize your store, are there certain categories? And what's an easy way to sort of talk about the variety of things that are available to people? Sort of, I mean, I know there's probably everything under the sun, but if you're going to cover the most common, the most popular ones.
Well, we like to talk about them as sort of what they are. There's a history in this industry of genderizing all of these very much, if that is a word, like toys for her and toys for him and toys for couples. And that is very, sounds very archaic to me and very limiting. I mean, the fact of the matter is that a vibrator, whether it's made and marketed for, you know, female genitalia or whatever, it can be used in so many different ways. So we just sort of talk about, we have vibrators, we have dildos, we have toys for penises. That's a pretty specific, there's not a lot of flexibility with most of those. Yeah. Toys for butts. And so we kind of just, instead of having it be too rigid, we like to, and of course there's toys that cross over within the categories, but I would say, I mean, of course the number one category that we all know about that we sell is vibrators, and that encompasses as well vibrating dildos and vibrating butt plugs, but basically things that turn on, because that's the one thing humans can't do. So kind of what, one of the many things, but.
What percentage of the sales are vibrators? I mean, roughly, is it half or three quarters?
At least half.
Okay.
At least half. I mean, we do a lot, at early to bed, we do a lot of like gender expression gear and things that kind of are a little bit outside the realm of sex toys. And so it's hard to like, if we're talking from the sex toys that we sell, it's definitely more than half. And that's what most people think of when they think of a sex toy. They think of something that turns on. And I think that that's also a real entry-level thing for lots of people, because you can get a cute little vibrator that looks like lipstick, or you can get something, you know, like you can get something that doesn't feel intimidating, whereas some of the other products can be like second level or, you know, your sophomore purchase.
So what is a good, I don't know, you know, like in my own practice, plenty of people have a vibrator or they've got some sort of sex toys, but I still run into people who have never used one. Never had one. It's often as part of our conversation. Do you have a recommendation for where somebody starts?
It's interesting to me. There is still a lot of stigma on these products. I think that it's a long history of these being considered somehow only for people of a certain type, or only for, you know, single people, or, you know, there's a lot of and they're only, and for so long, they're only sold in stores that were kind of sleazy, for lack of a better word.
Right.
And so I think that there is stigma on it. So it is hard for a lot of people, I think, to like cross the threshold, whether physically or metaphorically, into purchasing their first sex toy. But there's a lot of really, you know, a lot of sex toys that are very nondescript, very discreet, either in the sense that, like, I love a wand style vibrator, like what used to be called the Hitachi Magic Wand. Now we just call it the Magic Wand because Hitachi doesn't want their name associated with it. But it's a back massager, basically, right? But it is a versatile, powerful thing that if your cleaning person finds it or whatever, you can just be like, oh, yeah, I have to massage my back. I think those are a great intro because they can be used on many different body parts. They can, including sore necks and backs.
Right.
But there's also really little ones that look like, you know, we call them like bullet style vibrators, which is a kind of aggressive word I don't love, but whatever, that are tiny and that can just, you can integrate them into your partner sex really easily. You can tote them around with you really easily. They're light and easy to use. And I think those are also a good intro for people because it's not, it doesn't feel like a huge piece of equipment,
right?
Which sometimes that's people's fear, is that, oh, it's going to mess up our whole thing because it's going to be this big interruption into our sex life. But it doesn't have to be.
Yeah. Okay. I guess I want to ask about shopping for these. Like what, I suppose you can just go online and order things, or you can go into a shop. Do you have feelings about where people do this? And what are the benefits of actually showing up live in a shop and talking to people that are educated about this and knowledgeable? And
Well, I was going to say, I'm very prejudiced to the idea of going into a sex toy store. And they're not accessible to everybody. And I totally get that. And they can be intimidating. But I think that these items, because they're so personal, because there is this sort of stigma, a lot of times if people, they just buy the first one they see, or they buy the one that's the most accessible, and it ends up not being what they were really looking for. And then maybe they're turned off of sex toys forever. Or they've shot, you know, they've used their budget and they're gone. So I think when you go into a sex toy store, or, you know, shopping online with a place that has a curated selection and doesn't just sell everything that's ever come out, you can feel toys inside a store. You can see what it actually feels like in your hands, asking questions, like, because there are so many choices. And I think that, you know, you see one in the media or you hear about it on TikTok, which is the new thing where people learn about sex toys. And that can be great, but that is no relationship to what your body might want. So just because someone talked about it online, it doesn't mean it's going to be what is going to work well for you. And so I think that being able to talk to someone about what you're looking for and why can be incredibly helpful. No one wants to take a used sex toy back. You know, you're not going to be able to return these items.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you are buying from someone that does that, I would caution you against that. But I think that being able to make an informed choice, you're going to, you know, unless you can go spend hundreds of dollars on every toy and figure out which one you like best, have being more informed before you start is a good way to save your money, and also to make sure that you are having the best chance of getting the toy that works for you. Of course, you never know until you get home and put it where it's supposed to go. And there's always that risk. But I think that personalized shopping and shopping someplace that has a curated collection is the most important thing, because then you can really, and you're not, you know, that you're buying something that's high quality, but also that maybe is the best fit for you.
Yeah. And if you don't know, I mean, because I'm imagining people that have never used one or had one before, they're going in, it's like, I don't know what I'm looking for, but at least a trained staff who's really there to help, right? Not there to embarrass you or take notes on it, you know, can really offer, I would imagine, some incredibly valuable input into what you might like or what you might want to start with.
Absolutely. And then we can ask questions that go beyond, you know, like what kind of vibrator you're looking for, right? Because if you don't ever had a vibrator before, you don't know what kind of vibrator you're looking for. But we can ask about what kind of sensations you like and how you're going to use the toy and what are the shapes of the body parts, you know, whether they're vaginas or vulvas or, you know, penises or whatever. And that can really help focus. And then hopefully the intention is to make it less intimidating and to open up a conversation. And it's interesting to me to see how often, you know, people are very, you know, nervous. They walk into the store. It's really hard for them. And you start talking to them and then everything just kind of comes out and you get to really learn, you know, so much about people. But also, it's the first time for some people they've ever talked about their body in that way or talked about sex in that way. So it's a really great to be able to have those one-on-one conversations with people.
Yeah. And, you know, it's similar to in sex therapy, right? My comfort talking about sex they can borrow my comfort. I mean, the fact that I can just talk matter-of-factly about this stuff, people can relax. And it's, I really want to reassure people it's the same thing in a high-quality sex toy shop where you're going to have trained staff who are there to be helpful, right?
Yeah. And the idea of borrowing your comfort, I think, is such a beautiful, I've never heard it said that way before, but I feel like that is one of the things that you don't even think about. But if you're able to make somebody comfortable talking about sex, whether it's in a therapy or a sex toy position, it can really make them feel more comfortable in it. And I think people don't get that. They're walking in feeling uncomfortable, and then they don't think about the fact that everyone else in the store isn't like, I hate talking about sex. They're like, oh, this is no big deal. I do this 100 times a day or on a good day. So I think it is that I'm gonna take that borrowing comfort thing. I love that. Thank you.
Sorry, you are welcome. You are welcome to that. I literally talk to clients, I can't quite remember how the conversation went, but he basically said he was going to go into a sex store, but he was going to have on a hoodie and dark glasses. And, you know, I think that's the frame of mind a lot of people are in when they first go in. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, this is so embarrassing, but it really is a really helpful experience. So.
Well, and I will say that, like, there is a history. Like, when I first started shopping for sex toys in the 90s, it was an uncomfortable position. I went into stores where nobody was looking to make me feel better about being in there, you know? But the entire industry has shifted in the past 20 years. Not the entire, but, like, the bulk of it. And I think that almost every big city and small cities, too, you're going to find a sex toy store that's staffed by people who love sex toys and love talking about sex and who are interested and excited to walk people through their collection. It's not the olden days where it's like, ugh, what do you want? You know, like, it's very different.
Going to take just a short little break to let you know about a new online course that I've got available called The Desire Spa. This is for women who are in an otherwise happy relationship but are struggling with sexual desire. This is a course just for you to figure out what is in the way of your desire, how to tune in and connect with what you could actually enjoy about physical intimacy, how to deal with all of this with your partner to totally transform your sex life so it can be something you look forward to. And basically, it can just be one more great part of your relationship with your partner instead of this thing that drags you down. The first step would be to sign up for my free masterclass at intimacywithease.com/masterclass. It'll talk about how to want sex again and lead into the next steps if you are interested in joining me in the spa. Back to the show. Let's talk a little bit about using a sex toy when you're in a relationship, like bringing this up to your partner, whether you own one or you'd like to, and some of what we might be up against getting a partner comfortable with this.
Well, and I'm sure that you know this from your work, but like talking about sex can be one of the hardest conversations that people have. And it's also the most vital conversations, I think, to having good sex. And when you want to bring a sex toy into the relationship, I think my suggestion I always give people is to, first of all, not frame it as a problem solver necessarily. I mean, if you have a problem and you've talked about it and, you know, my erection doesn't last long enough, how do we fix that? Here's a cock ring, you know. But if you maybe want more sensation during sex, you're not orgasming as much as you want to, as quickly as you want to, or something like that. I think that this is where it goes back to them being toys, like saying like, oh, this is a fun idea my friend told me about. I saw on the internet, I've been thinking about, you know, whatever. Would you want to try this? I think it would be fun. Because I think people are just, they'll shut down, a lot of them, the minute you're like, our sex isn't good enough, I'm going to get a dildo, you know, like that is sort of, that's, I think, a way to stop the conversation and make it uncomfortable. And I think that having an open conversation, I love having sex with you. I saw this cute vibrator. I love having sex with you if you wanted to try a butt toy, you know, like being positive about it. I also think that not just springing it in the moment, unless you've previously talked about it, like that can be off-putting and scary. And like, wait, we didn't talk about this. And there's, you know, I'm sure there's lots of relationships where one person has experience using toys and someone doesn't have any experience. And I would think that some people might find someone's vast experience with sex toys could be intimidating to a new lover or to a lover that doesn't have that experience. And let me show you, I have this vibrator I love. Let me show you how I use it. Put on a show for somebody, finding toys that are specifically marketed towards couples can be very helpful if one person is intimidated, just because it kind of brings it all back to the idea that you'd be using it together. Now, again, I think most toys can be used by two people or more at once, but sometimes that is the way it's talked about can be helpful. But yeah, I think there's a lot of ways to do it, but unfortunately, all of them kind of come down to communication,
right,
which is
right.
The most important thing with sex.
But another thing I run into a lot, and I mean, I'll generalize and say men often have this reaction, is I'm supposed to be the one giving you pleasure. Like, first of all, they may not realize how few women orgasm from penetrative sex. They think that this happens. They think that every other partner they've had, I've heard this. And I really think there's such a burden on them when they believe they're supposed to create this orgasm. And if their partner wants a vibrator or needs a vibrator, somehow it's, I don't know, emasculating or something to them sometimes. Like, they really feel bad about it. They think, wait, you're just sort of addicted to this thing. And so I can't give you pleasure.
Absolutely. And I think that we've done such a disservice, particularly like cisgendered heterosexual couples, where we don't talk enough about how external clitoral stimulation is something that most people need in order to have an orgasm. Freud and his, I'm sorry, but stupid,
yeah.
Mature and immature.
Right.
Even if people don't know that, they don't know that Freud had that whole thing, that has permeated our society in this like deep, deep way. Like, it is 2021 and we're still reassuring people who have clitorises that it's okay that they're stimulated in order to have an orgasm. Like, what? Why are we talking about this? And so I get it. We have a great kind of like dogs who eat dildos and women who date losers who throw away their vibrators are kind of like our repeat things that happen a lot. And it's true. We have women who come in like, my boyfriend keeps throwing away my vibrator. And it's like, okay, first of all, let's reevaluate this relationship.
Wow.
Factors, but you know. But people can be very intimidated because there is this macho masculinity and thank goodness. I mean, I guess it's good that these partners are thinking about their partner's orgasm, but it's not a gift that you give someone, right? You're helping somebody have an orgasm. And it's possible that your tongue or your penis or your whatever you're using just doesn't have the right sensation. And you know, you just think of how many people are in these relationships for years and years and years before they're able to articulate that it's not working for them. You know, that faking orgasms, you know, that we do such a disservice to our partners when we do that, to the future partners, to women everywhere. You know, I get why you have to do it sometimes and no shame. But yeah, I think that there's not enough education. Unfortunately, there's not going to be a lot of education in high school about vibrators. That's fine. But when people's education stops there, I think that's when we come into these problems.
Yeah. And I think about these partners, and they're probably not all men, but anyway, that feel like, wait, I'm supposed to produce your pleasure. I'm always telling people that I think we're each responsible for our own pleasure and we enlist our partner in that. And that should be a big relief. I mean, I really want to invite people to see that as a relief. Like, I don't have to do this. I don't have to know what to do. It's fine to bring in external toys and other stimulation. And let's just embrace whatever it is that makes us happy.
Even to the point of, you know, partners touching themselves during sex. Like, that too can be seen as, and I'm like, well, this is less work for you. Like, this is, you know, you can concentrate on your own feelings or you can concentrate on different parts of someone's body. Like, let somebody make themselves feel good. You're still here. You're still with them. You're still connected. You know, you can be, I mean, whatever. And I think that people, there is this archetype of what sex is supposed to be that we are really have a hard time shaking off. It's better than it used to be. There's so many more people who are using sex toys and asserting themselves sexually and getting what they need. But I feel like we still have a long way to go.
Yeah. So how do you answer? Do you ever get the question in the store about, can you get addicted to a vibrator? Does this desensitize me so nothing else will ever work?
Yes.
How do you address that?
Well, we just say no. I mean, the truth is, there's never been a study that I have seen that has ever shown or proven or even implied that a commercially available sex toy can get you addicted or ruin your clitoris in particular. People are worried about, like, no one's worried about where a penis is going. You know, people are worried about people's clitorises. So I think that no is the easy answer. But then also, it is true that if you have a hard time achieving an orgasm, you start using a vibrator, orgasms come more quickly, more easily, are more powerful, have more sensation. You aren't necessarily addicted, but then that's what your bar gets set higher.
Yeah.
There are also people who, like, let's say you're with a partner, you can come from oral sex, you don't have a partner for a while, you start using your vibrator, then maybe having an orgasm from oral sex alone becomes, it's harder to achieve. Your standards have kind of changed. We do recommend that, you know, you can take a break from your vibrator. You take a 2-week break is like sort of the industry standard. I don't really know where that came from, and then your body might be more responsive. I also think that we don't talk enough about how arousal leads to orgasm, right? Like, especially with vaginas and vulvas, right? Like, arousal on a penis, you can usually see evidence of it. But vibrators can kind of make orgasms happen with less arousal beforehand.
Mm.
I think manually, you need a lot more arousal because you're less intense. But lots of people who use a vibrator and have an orgasm in 2 minutes by themselves, if they're having sex with somebody else, they can have an orgasm from a different type of stimulation if they're aroused, if their body's turned on, if they're
exploring
the whole thing. So I think it's an anti-sex, usually an idea a man came up with, that these are harmful to people's bodies. I think the worst that can happen is you get used to it. And then sometimes that just means that you have a vibrator with you wherever you go, you know, like...
In case of emergency, right?
In case of emergency, you never know.
Right. I wanted to wrap up by asking you if you had one toy. I think you wrote down on the questions if your desert island pick.
Oh, a desert island pick. Yeah. Well, I'm assuming a desert island has an outlet.
Okay. Right.
I was like, oh, that's a really bad idea. They used to make a hand crank vibrator, which would have been the desert island pick, but surprisingly, they don't make that anymore because it was a lot of work. I mean, I have to go back to a wand style vibrator. I think because it has such versatility, and like the original magic wand, they last 20 years if you take care of them. They're such a good, powerful, again, versatile thing. And so, you know, everybody's different, but my desert island pick would definitely be an original magic wand. But I would hope that I could bring my whole case with me of everything that I have. It's going to be a long time on that desert.
Yeah, exactly. So where can people find you? Talk a little bit about the shop and where people can maybe find you online.
Sure. In Chicago, we're on the north side at 5044 North Clark Street. We're open 7 days a week and we have a very friendly, welcoming store. All adults are welcome and we love to help people in person. But online, you can find us at earlytobed.com. It's early, the number 2, bed.com. We have a super cute Instagram at earlytobed. Basically, if you Google us, you can find us all kinds of ways. And we're also always love to help people over the phone or via email if they have questions and they can't come in. We certainly, even if you're not in the Chicagoland area, you can't make it into the store. We want to walk you through your purchase and help you find the thing that's going to make your sex life even better than it already is.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being with me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to Better Sex. Please visit our website, bettersexpodcast.com, for show notes and additional episodes.
And that's a wrap for today. I really hope you enjoyed the episode. If you are enjoying the podcast, if some of this material resonates with you and you would like to make a difference and make sure that this keeps coming out in the world once a week, ongoing, there are a couple things you could do to show your appreciation. The first would be to go to iTunes and rate and review the show. That really helps us be found by new listeners when you review the show on iTunes. You can find a link at bettersexpodcast.com/iTunes. The other thing I want to invite you to consider is becoming a Patreon. For a small monthly pledge, you get some benefits. So for $2 a month, you get advance access to every single episode. For $5 a month, you get a chapter of my upcoming new book. And for $10 a month, I host quarterly get to know you and question and answer chats over the web, and you get invited to that. I would love to have your membership in that become part of the Better Sex family. You can find a link at bettersexpodcast.com/Patreon, which is P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Again, thanks for listening. I'm glad you're here. Feel free to comment, ask questions, get in touch. I'd love to hear from listeners. Thanks.